Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, we are very pleased to welcome, as far as Conducting Conversations is concerned, a brand new organization to our airwaves here at WCRI. We are going to be talking with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. And there's an abbreviation for that we'll talk about a little bit later, but the music director is here, Ben Vickers. Welcome, Ben. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having us here. Pleasure to be here.
Nice to meet you, and we're going to find out everything we ever wanted to know about the orchestra. And to help us do that is one of the founding members and a board of director, Amy Goldstein, is here. Welcome, Amy.
Glad to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And let's start with you, Ben, as the music director and of the orchestra. How old is the orchestra?
The orchestra, as the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, this is the second full season we've had. Prior to that, it was the Rhode Island Philharmonic Community Orchestra. So the organization's been around longer than NABSCO has, which is the abbreviation we're going to talk about later.
All
which
right. NABSCO.
Fondly use.
Fondly used.
Yes.
Not Nabisco, but close.
Exactly.
All right. So just take the I out, I guess. Amy, as one of the founding members, what brought this organization to be?
Well, many years ago, I had been lobbying the Rhode Island Philharmonic Music School to create an adult orchestra. They focused mostly on children and youth orchestras. And for a long time, they had no conductor until 2006. A gentleman named John Eales moved to Rhode Island, and he was a conductor. And he wanted to start an adult orchestra, so the Rhode Island Philharmonic grabbed him up and produced the first season in 2006. And being a flutist, I wanted to get in on the ground floor, because very often it's very hard to break into an orchestra on flute because they only need three of them.
Right.
So I've been there ever since. And so we performed with John Eales until about 3 years ago when he moved to California, and then we needed to find a new conductor, and we had a search. 1 year we had all guest conductors, and Ben Vickers was the one we chose.
One of the guest conductors that turned out to be permanent.
Yes.
Glad to have you. Now, Ben, yeah. Is your background, are you from Rhode Island?
I am not from Rhode Island. I'm from this.
Okay, never mind. No more questions. no, go ahead.
Well, I am from the Southwest. I come from Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I grew up, obviously, started playing piano at first and then cello, and was in the Albuquerque Youth Symphony, studied at the University of New Mexico and Arizona State University on cello before I began to get into conducting.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the University of Michigan, studied conducting, and that led me, back to the Southwest briefly, and then an opportunity brought me to Boston, actually, to work as the Zander Conducting Fellow with the Boston Philharmonic.
Another Ben,
exactly.
There you go.
And I did that and stayed in the area with opportunities conducting around, and of which the opportunity to guest conduct the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra was one. And this has worked out beautifully because now I have a home here.
Great. All right. Yeah. Well, welcome, even though you're not a Rhode Islander.
Thank you.
It's okay.
I'm new to the whole region. It takes a while to establish.
We accept a few people now and then. We'll check your papers later.
Yeah, thank you.
Amy, how about you? Are you a longtime Rhode Island person?
Actually, I'm originally from New York.
Okay, well, that's enough of that.
But I did go to college in Rhode Island.
Oh, there you go. Okay, now you're accepted.
I went to Brown, where I met my husband in the orchestra at Brown.
Okay.
And so playing in NABSCO with my husband on violin is rather nostalgic, and we enjoy doing that a lot.
Did you start playing the piano like most people?
Yes, I did start on piano, and then because I wanted to play in bands and orchestras, I did also take flute. And when I was in high school, I played in a community orchestra in Bayshore, New York, that my father also played in. He was a violinist and enjoyed that very much. And I was very glad to be able to continue playing in orchestras in college and wanted to continue for a long time. But I'm glad that finally we have an orchestra that I'm able to be in.
All right. We'll find out a little bit more about the orchestra, but I want to get to a piece of music. Mm-hmm. And Ben, this first piece of music is actually a recording of the orchestra.
That's right. This is from our June 7th, 2015 concert, the final concert of last season, where we played the Beethoven Fifth Symphony at Providence College. And this will be an excerpt of the end of the last movement.
Thank you. the top of the show, I mentioned that NABSCO, if you will, or the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, is new to WCRI, relatively new in existence, but new as far as becoming part of our nonprofit family here at the station. And we're very pleased to be able to help and support the group. And you have an event coming up very soon, correct, Amy?
That's right. We have a concert on Sunday afternoon, March 6th at 3 p.m. It's going to be at Sappinsley Hall at Rhode Island College. And if you want to get tickets for that, you can either go online at nabsco.org, where you can purchase tickets, or you can call the box office at Rhode Island College, and the phone number there is 401-456-8144. Or you could get tickets the day of the concert at their box office at Sappinsley Hall.
Unless it's sold out.
Unless it's sold out.
You should do it ahead of time.
That would be best.
And why don't we spell out NABSCO for everybody for the website?
Sure. That's NABSCO.
.org. As simple as that. And Ben, what will be played that day? What kind of music will be featuring?
Well, we have a special program there that was kind of loosely based around the number 3. It's a little gimmick, but we're going to start with the Wagner Prelude to Act 3 of Lohengrin, which has always been a favorite piece of mine. We played the first two of the 3 Debussy Nocturnes for orchestra. The one we're not going to play involves the women's chorus that is frequently not played just because it has a that special requirement. So we're going to play the first two of them, as is often done in concert. And then the real, in a way, highlight of the work will be the Beethoven Triple Concerto, featuring Judith Stillman, the great pianist, Charles Dimmock, who is a great violinist and the concertmaster of the Rhode Island Philharmonic, and Aristides Rivas, who's the principal cellist of the Rhode Island Philharmonic. So all local eminent musical personalities. And we're going to play the Beethoven Triple Concerto featuring them in the second half of the concert.
Excellent. Judith Stillman, a previous guest on Conducting Conversations, and a wonderful pianist, and on faculty at Rhode Island College.
Exactly,
there
yes.
There you go. One of the interesting stories, I don't know if you know this about her, one time she was talking about one of her former students, and it turns out that it was Marcellus.
Wynton Marcellus.
Yeah. As a former student.
They've recorded together.
Yeah, they have. So, see, there we have a little touch of fame in the state.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
So that'll be part of that. We want to get to another piece of music before we take our first commercial break. What do you have for us?
Well, I thought we would play a little bit of the Triple Concerto. This is the beginning of the third movement, which the cellist in this case kind of leads off. And what we're going to listen to is a recording featuring Itzhak Perlman, the violinist, Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, of course, Daniel Barenboim, the pianist and the conductor. And this recording features the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra and was recorded in 1995.
All right. It's a little lengthy. We won't have time for the whole thing, but we'll listen to a portion of it and then be back with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we are sitting with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. The music director is here, Benjamin Vickers, and board member and flutist, not flautist. She prefers flutist. Amy Goldstein is here. So the two of them have been talking about the upcoming performance. We'll talk a little bit more about that and the music that's going to be played. We've found out some interesting things about the orchestra's beginning. Amy, I don't think we talked about the size or maybe what some of the goals are of the orchestra.
Sure. Well, our orchestra is made up of a very wide range of individuals, from professional musicians. There are a lot of music teachers in schools, but there are also people who have just played instruments their whole lives. We have lawyers and doctors and...
No Indian chiefs. Doctors, lawyers.
Not that I know of. Okay. Yeah. But,
Could have.
Could have, okay. Yeah. We are, I guess you would call it a catchphrase. We are of the community and for the community. Mm-hmm. And our mission is to share live classical music with our communities at little or no cost, to promote music education, to enrich the cultural life of our region, and to provide the opportunity for participants to continue a lifelong study of music. So we really enjoy doing what we do, and we like to bring it to the community and provide concerts for people that are accessible, and our ticket prices are quite low.
Excellent. Well, that sounds like a great mission. And Ben, as far as you selecting music for performances like this, is that your job? Is that someone else's job?
It is my job. We do it in, you know, consultation. We figure out what would be some good ideas and themes. We discuss, you know, what soloists, usually local artists, like we're doing for this concert, we'd like to partner with and mm-hmm. engage with and pick music that lends itself well to that. I must say I was very struck on meeting the board when I first came to work as a guest conductor by how clear the mission was and how seriously everybody took the orchestra and its mission, and that made a great impression on me. And it's really just a remarkable group of people that I'm very lucky to get to work with, and they have wonderful ideas about what we should do in programming to reach the community.
Excellent. So, all right. Well, let's get to another piece of music. Sure. We've had beautiful performances so far. Let's go to another one.
Well, this is going to be the Debussy Nocturnes, which is, again, I always say every piece is a favorite of mine, but I'm never lying when I say that. This has always been, these pieces have always been among my top favorites because they inhabit such a sort of dream space. Debussy, of course, was the probably the composer most easily identified as a French impressionist in music, as probably everybody knows. These pieces are a kind of pure picture painting for him. He wasn't interested here in trying to fuse his ideas with the form of a symphony like he did in La Mer or another work. These are kind of pure picture painting, as I said. The first one, called Nuage, is about clouds, just as the word means. And it begins with what you could just call harmonic shades. It just very simple lines opening inward and outward, kind of depicting shades and vague motion within stillness. That's kind of what you get with clouds. And it progresses and develops, adding more voices to that, getting a little bit more complicated. And then it breaks into a part which is very, I think, clearly influenced, and you'll probably hear this, by Debussy's interest in East Asian music because of the exhibition going on in Paris at the time. Around the time he was writing these pieces, he heard for the first time, you know, Javanese gamelan music, the first time that had been brought to France, and it really changed Debussy's music. And there is an episode which is for the flute and the harp that has a very the influence of Asian music and pentatonic scales all around it. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of scale that you'll hear. There's a clear moment where the sun peeks through the clouds for just a moment. There's a dark minor key harmony, and then the sun, the same chord is turned into a major chord, and you feel everything expand for just a moment, and as though the sun is coming out, and then it goes right back and goes back to the plangent English horn solo that started the whole thing.
So from brightness to darkness.
From brightness to darkness, and fades out again, and just kind of goes away in a low gray rumble. That's the first of these two nocturnes.
Well, let's listen to it now.
Thank you.
Amy, you made an interesting comment while we were listening to that last piece. So we talked about the brightness and the darkness.
And then you could actually hear kind of rumbling of thunder in the distance.
There you go. All right. So see, that's something you missed, Ben.
It's brilliant. Well, I didn't ever think of that. And that's just that just speaks to how much there is there to hear and how much you put in it.
There's a lot.
As far as imagery.
Right.
And
Well, now, one of the things we talked about off-air before the show started was that you had some interesting background. I know we've talked about your early music career, but something happened to you when you were around 5 or 6, maybe?
Well, yeah, it's probably not that uncommon for people who end up, you know, following music seriously, but it was, at any rate, kind of my origin story with music, and what the Debussy reminds me of it because of how imaginary, how it takes you to a place that is just an imaginary landscape kind of thing that I've always had, and I'm not alone in having that. But when I was about 6 or so, I think it was, as far as music went, I think it was kind of like having a switch turned on, because all of a sudden, I remember distinctly my grandmother had one old album of some patriotic songs, and it was an album. I mean, it was an LP back in those days. I'm not so old, but still, it was an LP. And I just all of a sudden began to connect with it. And she realized that I could hear, you know, a great deal in it. I think they were very simple songs, like patriotic songs with a singer and a piano accompaniment. And I began to ask her questions about how you play such and such on the piano. And I think she realized that there was a great deal of depth that I was hearing in it. And so she showed me how to read, you know, the treble clef, where middle C is on the piano, where, you know, where all the notes are and that kind of thing. And so she was really instrumental, no pun intended, in my very, you know, in my formation as a musician. She discovered that if I was not in the room, I could still tell, you know, what notes she was playing as she would play through her songs that she loved from the 20s and 30s. And you know, again, that's not totally unique to me. Lots of musicians have that. But I'm just reminded of her, particularly with Debussy's music, because it has that little touch of kind of jazz harmonies and things that colorful chords that I know she appreciated, and that bring me back to those kind of memories of when I was first connecting with these
great story things. Everyone has to start somewhere.
That's
there's
true.
Always an influence in their lives.
That is true.
Music is concerned.
Yeah.
Let's get to one more piece before we take our next break. And this is
sure. This is the second of the nocturnes. There's somewhat less to say about this because it's a little more self-explanatory. But the name of this, of course, is Fête, which is party in French, basically. And that's what's going on. There's a party. It kind of drops away and passes. There's a long passage in the middle where a military band is gradually approaching from the distance, and you hear them getting closer and closer and closer and louder and louder and louder until they're right in your face. And then Debussy combines the music they're playing with what was going on before the party, and it's a big, you know, big wild party. And then it just trails off into the distance, kind of like the first one did. It just passes, and there it goes.
All right. We will listen to a portion of that and then be back with more. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Amy Goldstein, who is the board member of the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, and Benjamin Vickers, who is the music director. And Amy, we talked a little bit about the size, if you will, and the makeup of the orchestra, people being in the profession or not in the profession. But we kind of touched on how old the orchestra is, but I think that's important that people understand what you're all about. And so why don't we go back to that a little bit and talk about the beginnings.
Sure. Well, this is actually the 10th year that we've been in existence. We started out as RIPCO, which is the Rhode Island Philharmonic Community Orchestra. And a few years ago, we came from underneath the umbrella of the Rhode Island Philharmonic to become our own independent 501c3 nonprofit organization so that we could actually do our own fundraising. Mm-hmm. And that made it easier for us to apply for grants and to ask donors for help in raising money. And we've been relatively successful. It's a very wonderful way for the community to promote classical music. They can always make a donation to our group and keep us going.
There you go. And lots of our listeners obviously enjoy classical music. So if you're listening and you're so moved, you can go to their website and find out how you can be helpful in donating and keeping the good music coming.
And another way they can join us is if they're interested in playing classical music. We are always holding auditions for various positions. We're always looking for string players, certainly, and very often we'll need subs in some of the wind positions, so that if somebody is interested in joining our orchestra, they can go to that website as well, nabsco.org, and send us a message and tell us that they're interested in auditioning.
Okay. Ben, about how many musicians in the orchestra at this point?
About 80, aren't there?
Not that big. 60.
Six, 60.
There are about 60 musicians in the orchestra. In my mind, there are 80 because there can never be enough string players. I'm joking a bit, but it's about 60. We would welcome more string players just because I would always want to, add depth to the string sound.
Do they audition for you?
There's an audition process. People will just get in touch with us, express their interest. We'll set up a little audition, which can be, it's not that it's a big deal, something quite casual, but something in which the player will, is invited to play something that they feel shows their best playing or that, mm-hmm. That they're most comfortable with. And we just talk, get to know their background a bit and what they do in life and what their relationship to music is. And very often they are a good fit. We've brought many new musicians into the orchestra this season. And as Amy said, we are always looking to have more string players in the orchestra, and we always need substitute players. And we play works, the works that we're playing are getting larger and larger in terms of the complement of players they require. So there is definitely room for growth for us if people are interested.
Excellent. Yes. All right. I want to recap the where and when. We'll do that after we listen to this next piece of music. So if you have a pencil handy or you want to jot that down, we'll talk about that after Ben introduces this next piece.
This next piece is going to be the opener for the March 6th concert, and indeed it's, I think, one of the great openers ever written. It's the prelude to the third act of Wagner's opera Lohengrin, and it is just before the wedding in the story. The plot sort of doesn't matter so much at this point, but the what follows this prelude immediately in the opera is the famous Here Comes the Bride wedding march that we all know from our weddings or whatever. And so this is the festive prelude setting the stage for that with all of the bustle and anticipation of the wedding to come, and it's just a great, exciting opener.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you here today and meeting you and finding out all there is to know about the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. And I'm sure there's lots of people behind the scenes that are involved other than you and Amy, right?
There are. My thank you. And thank you very much for having us. It's been a pleasure to get to know you today and to speak with everybody. There are our entire board is wonderful. Our assistant conductor, Vincent Matera, is one of the clarinetists in the orchestra and also a very well-known and venerable music educator in the state of Rhode Island, and has been very, very helpful in helping to rehearse the orchestra and get us ready for not only this concert, but for every program. He's played a critical role in helping with the rehearsals. So he is an important person to mention.
Excellent. And Amy, we want to give everyone, as promised, the who, what, when, and where.
Okay. The concert is on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., March 6th, and the location is Sappinsley Hall at Rhode Island College. The parking there's plenty of parking, and
it's free.
And it's free parking.
There you go.
Rhode Islanders love free parking.
Well, it's a big difference in going downtown and having to worry about that.
Exactly.
You can just drive right
exactly.
up.
And we try to make our concerts extremely accessible. The venue itself is accessible for handicapped people, and ticket prices as well make it accessible. We have a general admission $15, and we have a discount for students and seniors of $5.
Wow, that is very accessible.
It is.
All right.
It is. So you may get tickets by phone or by our website. The website is nabsco.org, NABSCO.org, and you can purchase tickets there. Or you may call the Rhode Island College box office at area code 401-456-8144. And, of course, you could get tickets, if there are any left, at the box office on the day of the concert.
Well, thank you very much, Amy, and it was a pleasure meeting you and having you.
I'm so glad to be able to be here.
Ben, we have very little time, but we'll listen to a piece of this last piece of music you brought for us. Tell us what that's going to be.
Sure. This is a little bit more of the Beethoven Triple Concerto, and this is just the end of the first movement, which in which, you know, all the three soloists are engaged and busy and having a very exuberant finish. So I think that's a
good way to end.
Great way to end, yes.
All right. Well, thank you both, and we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.